now, your hosts for Life from the Pulpit. Here's Nick Perez.
Yes, and how's it? And welcome to Live from the Pulpit, the cutting edge in biblical exposition, coming to you on location in Merced, California, home of the Merced Church of Christ. This is the fastest half-hour podcast in the West, where I, your humble correspondent, the voice of the valley, Nick Perez, offer up news and views you can use on Scripture and society with a little help from my friends. Greetings and welcome to the program. Did you see these news stories that are out today? Here's the first one I'll start with. Did you hear about the abortion clinic? It's a hospital over in the UK, but it might as well be an abortion clinic, where aborted babies over in the UK were used as clinical waste by these hospitals in Britain. They were turned from waste to energy as they were incinerated. 15,000 babies were incinerated. Here's a part of the article. The bodies of thousands of aborted and miscarried babies were incinerated as clinical waste, with some even used to heat hospitals, an investigation has found. 10 NHS trusts have admitted burning fetal remains alongside other rubbish, while two others used the bodies in waste-to-energy plants to generate power for heat. So here is literally what is happening in these hospitals. In one room, they're working to save a baby that's been born premature. And in another wing of the hospital, they're taking babies that they have killed by aborting them, or babies which have been miscarried, and they're throwing them into the fire incinerating them in order to try and heat the hospital. That's what they're doing. They're saving babies in one wing of the hospital. They're burning babies in another wing of the hospital. No sanctity of life whatsoever. No qualm about this. It would seem 15,000, over 15,000 babies, the bodies of these babies, they're just throwing them in the incinerator. No names. No grave markers. No, they just burned them. Yeah, but that's over in the Atlantic, over across the Atlantic, I should say. You know, that kind of stuff doesn't happen in America. Well, here's another news article out of St. Louis. Vatican Chief Justice. He feels, according to the story, that President Barack Obama's policies have been hostile toward Christians. In an interview with Polonia Christiana magazine, transcribed by LifeSite News, Cardinal Raymond Burke said that Obama promotes anti-life and anti-family policies. We're just now catching on to this. I mean, didn't we know about Obama and his stance on abortion back when he was in the Illinois state legislature? He voted on it. He voted for it twice. Voted for essentially for infanticide while he was in the Illinois state legislature. There's audio of him supporting and defending infanticide. He was in support of it. He wanted a bill that would allow for babies to just essentially be tossed into a dark place to die, or babies that made it through the abortion process. God help them. Ugh. They'd make it through that process. They just toss them into a dark room to let them die quietly. They were finding babies in Chicago hospitals where that was happening. Here's more from Cardinal Raymond Burke. The former Archbishop of St. Louis stated that Obama is trying to restrict religion. I jumped ahead here. Here's what he says. It is true that the policies of the President of the United States have become progressively more hostile toward Christian civilization. He appears to be a totally secularized man who aggressively promotes anti-life and anti-family policies. And this is when he said Obama's trying to restrict religion. Now he wants to restrict the exercise of the freedom of religion to freedom of worship. And there is a difference. Words have meanings, folks. Words have meaning. And here's a prime example. Well, you know, freedom of worship, freedom of religion, same thing, right? No. Just like we're not a democracy here in America, we're a republic, and there's a difference. And you can laugh that off and, well, whatever, you know. But words have meaning, and this is significant. The cardinal explains. That is, he, Obama, holds that one is free to act according to his conscience within the confines of his place of worship, but that once the person leaves the place of worship, the government can constrain him to act against his rightly formed conscience, even in the most serious of moral questions. The article goes on. I'll post the link on the website if you're interested and would like to read more of what the cardinal has to say. But, that's where we're at here in America. We do have a president and a Congress, I believe, which advocates for the slaughter of babies. Well, you know, we gotta help these folks out, especially minorities. They don't have enough money, and you know, God forbid, they have another baby, and now they can't afford rent. Well, you know, what if there's a 2-year-old in that family of 9? You know, just take the toddler out. You know, kill that 2-year-old, and whatever money would have gone to feed that mouth, well, you can put it toward. Well, wait a minute. Whoa! You can't just kill a 2-year-old. Why not? What is the difference between that 2-year-old and the baby still in utero? Is it size? If it's size that makes a person more valuable, well, then a lot of men are bigger than women. Women are less valuable, right? Well, so size doesn't affect the value of an individual. What about level of development? Well, you know, 2-year-old's more developed than a baby still in utero. Yeah, and I'm more developed than a 2-year-old, so I'm of more value, right? Is it environment? Is that what we're talking about? People over in Arizona are more valuable than people in Texas. And oh, by the way, us Californians are more valuable than the rest of y'all, right? Well, it can't be location. And especially when we consider just the difference between 8 inches, the difference of 8 inches, the trip down the birth canal, that's what it is, what we're talking about here. So it can't be environment. Well, maybe it's degree of dependency. A 9-month-old baby is not as dependent as a 2-year-old baby. Well, how dependent is a teenager? Does that affect their value? Or even a full-blown adult who maybe has mental issues, are they less valuable because they're so dependent? No. So what's the difference? The fact is that none of these things. None of the. And then, well, by the way, if we want to argue about, well, the baby's just another part of her body, what are we saying? Baby has his own fingerprints, DNA, blood type, and so that means that at 9 months, a woman has essentially 2 noses, 2 fingers, 4 eyes, 4 ears, and in half the cases, a working penis and testicles. So all this business of value and everything, you know, if we're going to say, well, minorities, whatever, we got to help minorities out, Well, then take out the toddler. No, but we can't do that. There is no fundamental difference between the baby in utero or a toddler or me and you when you just go through while the differences are there, that doesn't make them less valuable. No difference in value. And oh, by the way, if we're going to argue about minorities, helping minorities out, 35% of all abortions that took place in 2009 were performed on black women. And that killed twice as many black people than the total that died in the United States that year. The Center for Disease Control reports that during the 70s, roughly 24% of all U.S. abortions were performed on black women. That percentage has steadily increased through the 80s, 90s, and 2000s to 36%. And that means that about 31% of all U.S. abortions since 1973, when abortion was legalized, have been performed on African American women. A rough estimate based on January 2013, where the estimate was about 55.7 million babies have been slaughtered due to abortions in America since 1973. That means that approximately 17 million black babies were aborted. And oh, by the way, all this in spite of the fact that the black population in America comprises about 12% of the entire U.S. population. They're the leaders in all these categories. Can we use the term genocide yet? I mean, wasn't that the purpose of eugenics back when Margaret Sanger and her ilk started propagating it and promoting it back in the early 20th century? They wanted to cleanse the human race of all inferior races like blacks. And so, yeah, can we use the word genocide yet? Because that's what's happening here. This is a systematic slaughter of a race of people in America. And nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to talk about the damage that's being done to not only the baby. The baby dies. Some do survive. And, you know, praise God and God help them as they grow through that. But the baby's dead. So one is dead, but the other party, the mother, is wounded. Her body is savaged by so-called doctors, and her soul has been ravaged by the sin of murder. No, because that's what's effectively happened. A baby has been murdered. A life has been taken, and it was premeditated, and it was calculated, and it was planned out, scripted, ahead of time. That's murder. We have the systematic murdering of millions of potential American citizens, and quite frankly, they're people. Lives are lost here. 55 million in the last 40 years. And oh, by the way, let me remind us of some biblical principles here that can help guide us. All the way back at the very beginning, Genesis chapter 1, the book of origins. Where did we come from? Well, God says in Genesis 1:26, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. That's where we came from. Every single one of those babies that have been aborted in America, 55.7 million estimate, Every last one of them were created in the image of God. And they were murdered. The image of God was snuffed out. It was an assault directly on God himself, an assault on the divine image. The Bible says in Psalm 139, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." Every last one of those babies, that was true for them. And God knew them. Knew them intimately. Knew what they were to be. What they would have grown up to be. But, alas, the selfishness of man stepped in. The sadistic side of man stepped in. And a mother said, "No, I don't want the baby." And a doctor said, "Yes, I will take the baby." And the deed was done. "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth." That's highly poetic language to talk about. Look, God made you. Made you in utero, made you in the womb. "Your eyes saw my unformed substance. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." And you have mothers and you have doctors who take those books and are throwing them into the incinerator, quite literally. Taking those precious baby books, the books that contain the number of their days and what they were to be and their lives, and are throwing them into the fire. It's like a bad sci-fi movie or something, isn't it? Like, you know, one of those kinds of, I don't know, Soylent Green or something, you know? Something like that. Something that Charlton Heston would have been in, right? Charlton Heston would have been in. And they're taking these babies. They're not alive. They're dead babies. But there's something about this. You don't treat human life that way. You don't treat, you know, the dead this way. So this, you know, this is something right out of one of those bad sci-fi movies where, you know, there's this big twist at the end about how, you know, Soylent Green is people or, you know, something like that. It's just dark, very dark. These babies were unwanted. And apparently the supreme expression of what we do with the unwanted, we take them, we throw them in fire. We incinerate them. We use them. Because after all, they're waste. We turn them to energy. You know what this is? Isn't this the Matrix? It's kind of like the Matrix because they took the dead and they would recycle them in order to feed the living. Yeah. It's a bad, bad sci-fi movie. This is awful. And we have taken life and we've cheapened it. What do you expect? What do we expect when we treat life this way? Where we elect a man who to be the ruler of the free world, essentially, leader of the free world, I should say, but he acts like a ruler. Anyway. And he's a man who has voted not once, but twice in the Illinois State Legislature to Bills, Born Alive Infants Protection Act, an Illinois bill that was meant to provide protection for babies born alive after attempted abortions. He voted against that. And he voted also against another one that, here it is. Obama voted against a version of the Illinois bill that contained the same protection included in a federal bill. So yeah, that's the man that we've elected as president. What do we expect? What? And it is a baby. It's a baby in utero. You can show that through a persuasive argument. You can show it philosophically. Let me show it to you biblically in Luke 1 and verse 41. This is the account where Elizabeth, who is Mary's relative, Mary the mother of Jesus, Mary's relative Elizabeth is pregnant with the child that will become John the Baptist. She's 6 months pregnant. That's when Mary comes and visits her. Luke 1:41, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Did you catch it? The baby. Scripture says it's not a blob of tissue. It's not a potential human. It's not a fetus. It's not a medical condition. It's a baby. A baby. The baby leaped in her womb. Statistically speaking, the womb is the most dangerous place in the world. That's the genocide, the infanticide that's taking place. Millions slaughtered. Human lives erased. Again, the book of years tossed into incinerators. Abortion is a great evil. It's a blight in our country. And quite frankly, I don't think it should be legal. It shouldn't be legal to murder babies. And here's the thing. If you're listening and you have aborted a baby, I'm sure there is guilt that is associated over that past abortion. There's grief over that decision and your participation in the extermination of that human life. But there is a solution. There is an answer. The solution to the guilt that you have over that past abortion is found in Jesus Christ. Only He can assuage the grief that you feel over what you did. You see, He's the solution to the guilt because you realize that what you did was wrong. It was sin. And only His blood can forgive you of that. And He's the solution to your grief because only He can give you soundness of mind and peace of heart so that you can continue with your life. This FI brought to you by Merced Church of Christ, located at 2050 Yosemite Parkway. The Merced Church of Christ is composed of people devoted to the Word of God, people devoted to the worship of God, and people devoted to the work of God. Our purpose, our mission, is to seek out and find willing people to be obedient to Christ and to live according to His will. The Merced Church of Christ meets every Lord's Day, that Sunday, for Bible study at 9:30 a.m., morning worship at 10:30 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. We also meet every Wednesday for midweek Bible study at 7 p.m. We wish you'd join us. She's served by her preaching minister, yours truly, Nick Perez. Go online and visit www.mercedchurchofchrist.org. Merced Church of Christ, making and maturing disciples.
And now it's time for the question of the day. Question.
Is abortion a sin? You may be wondering that question after listening to this episode. Is abortion a sin? Well, as I've already talked about, it is the systematic murder of a baby that's still in its mother's womb. And so maybe the question can also be framed, is murder is murderous sin, and indeed it is. Now, your old King James in the Ten Commandments may say, you shall not kill. When you get to commandment number 5, that's an unfortunate translation, because really it should be translated, you shall not murder. You shall not murder. There's premeditation involved in this. There's calculation. There's thought beforehand. And so murder, that's really what we're after here. It's the intentional shedding of blood, and especially when we consider the taking of the life of a baby in a premeditated fashion, we're talking about the shedding of innocent blood, because a baby is an innocent child. He's not guilty of sin, contrary to what Calvinism and the doctrine of total depravity might say. The Bible says that the soul that sins, it shall die. Each one shall be put to death for his own sin. That's Ezekiel 18, verse 4, verse 20. Also Deuteronomy 24, verse 6. So that baby is innocent. You know, it doesn't make sense that a baby, that you, because you're born, you've got to go to prison because somebody else committed a crime. You don't go to hell because of someone else's sin, Adam. You go to hell because of your own sin, if it's left unresolved and hasn't been taken care of by the blood of Jesus. And so, yeah, this is, we're talking about the shedding of innocent blood, the murder of innocence. That's what abortion is. Abortion absolutely is a sin. And murder, not only in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, Jesus reaffirms, you shall not murder. So in terms of abortion, yes, abortion is a sin. Now, let me also say that abortion is not an unforgivable sin. Just like murder is not an unforgivable sin. It can be forgiven. But you must come to God, you must come to Christ, and you must seek out the forgiveness that only comes through the blood of Jesus. And again, as I mentioned at the close of the program, he's the only solution to the guilt and the grief that you feel as a result of having participated in this wicked action. That's what it is. It's an evil which blights our country. Every day we have a 9/11. Because somewhere in the neighborhood of 3,000 to 4,000, a figure I saw today was about 3,300 babies are murdered, slaughtered systematically through abortion. It is a great evil. It is a wicked thing. But again, it is something that God can forgive. And he's the one who can deal with your grief. He's the one who can deal with your guilt by the man Jesus Christ. You must come to him by faith, a faith which acts and will be put into practice by doing what Jesus says you must do in order to be saved. You repent of your sins, confess him as Lord, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and live a life of faithfulness where you will now champion the cause of the innocent and speak the truth in love to those who need to hear it. I'm out of time. Feel free to leave a comment on the website. Always like to hear what you have to say. Search Facebook, Life from the Pulpit on Facebook. Like the Facebook page. You get all the updates when I go live with the podcast. Update the blog or post a new video on YouTube. Speaking of YouTube, search YouTube, Life from the Pulpit. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. I do the Question of the Day segments there from time to time. Follow me on Twitter, at InPulpit, at the letter N as in Nick, Pulpit, P-U-L-P-I-T. Be sure and stop by the Life from the Pulpit blog, L-I-F-E from the pulpit.wordpress.com. All of my commentary there on Luke, James, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, now Philippians coming up there as well. Check out Merced Church of Christ website, mercedchurchofchrist.org, mercedchurchofchrist.org for plenty of sermon audio and other resources to help you grow in your daily walk with the Lord. Now on iTunes, search the iTunes store for the Life from the Pulpit podcast. And as always, brethren, grace be with you all. Thanks for listening.